Let's just now unite our hearts together in a word of prayer, please, for our evening service. Our gracious, eternal, loving Heavenly Father, we continue in thy presence in the Savior's precious and all-prevailing name. We thank thee tonight that we have one who's seated at God's right hand, even the Lord Jesus Christ, who lives in the power of an endless life. And, O God, we pray as thee this night that we can come even with boldness unto the throne of grace, to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Oh, I pray that thou would be pleased to even search our hearts this evening. Lord, we recognize from thy word, it reminds us thou knowest them that are thine, and thou knowest those that are yet in their sin and in nature's darkness. And we pray, Lord, that the searchlight of God's holy word would even shine into the deepest and darkest recesses of the hardest heart. And oh, that thou would bring them to an end of themselves. Thou would pull down, Lord, the puny arms of rebellion. And oh, God, tonight there will be those who will wind their way even to Calvary's cross. Thank you, Lord, tonight we're still in the day of thy grace. Thank you, Lord, thou art still calling souls unto thyself. And oh, we pray that thou would come. Thou would speak through me. And thou would, Lord, cause thy word to run and to be glorified. Bless each one that will be gathering around thy word tonight in their homes. O God, we pray that they might hear the still small voice of the Lord speak to their hearts. Thank you, Lord, for those that have been joining in every week. And Lord, we pray right across our province, Lord, thou would bless the word as it goes forth this evening in all its fullness. We pray, Lord, where the blood in the book is preached, that, Lord, that thou would be pleased to draw near and add unto thy church such as should be saved. We thank thee, Lord, again for help this afternoon in the open air, and, O God, for each one that was gathered out. And we pray, Lord, again that the word would be a blessing, not only to thy people, but, O God, to those yet unsaved. And we pray, Lord, that thou would be pleased to move even by thy Spirit, by thy power in these days. Bless, Lord, our people. Bless our congregation. O God, put thy loving arms around about them. We pray that they might be conscious in their going out and their coming in, even of the Lord's presence with them. We ask, O God, that in these days that we might, Lord, lean on the promises of the book. And we, the Lord, might recognize that God's promise is sure. It's yea and amen in Christ Jesus. So, Father, hear our prayer. Remember us tonight. Remember mission fields this evening. Remember even those works in far-off places. Pray, O God, for, Lord, our works in Australia. And we pray, O God, that thou would draw near to Philip and Cherith, especially there in Perth. Remember them and the girls. And, Lord, we pray over the other side, for Naomi and Andrew. And Lord, we pray that the word will yet go forth in Canada. And Lord, that thou would be pleased to add unto that little flock such as should be saved. Remember, Lord, our brother Paul there. And Lord, we pray that thou would help him and Ariana and the children, even in that vast city. And oh God, that they might even see fruit for their labors in these days. So, Father, answer prayer. Abide with us, Lord. Lord, remember our province. Remember our nation. Even, Lord, we've prayed in this last number of weeks in the midst of this lockdown. Lord, we would pray again as we seem to be coming out of it. We pray again for thy preserving grace to be upon our people. We pray, O God, for the staying of this disease, that it would not raise its head again. And, O God, recognizing that thou art in control. And, Lord, thou dost, Lord, do according to thine own purpose and to do according to thine own divine will. And so, Father, we pray that thou might, Lord, step in and in wrath remember mercy where our land is concerned. Remember the bereaved families, so difficult in these days, especially for those who have loved ones who have passed away. And Lord, how funerals are so different as well. And we pray that thou would fill the empty chair. And thou would bind up broken hearts, even those, Lord, that have spoken to this week, those that have been bereaved some weeks back now, but Lord, it's still real. And we pray that thou would Lord, give that consolation and give that comfort even from day to day. Give that needed grace. Abide with us now, Lord, further, and bless us as we turn to thy word. We pray in our Savior's name. Amen. I want to turn tonight, please, to Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. And we're going to begin our reading at the verse 18. I'll give you time to look that up. And it's Luke chapter 5 and verse 18. And behold, men brought in abed a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he saith unto the sick of a palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he arose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed. And they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, Follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. There was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, Why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? Jesus answering said unto them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Amen. We're ending a reading tonight at the end of verse 32. And we know the Lord himself will add his own divine blessing upon the reading. Let me welcome you in the Lord's great name to our evening service, going to you live across the various platforms. And we do thank again each one for joining in. Not only does that apply to our own congregation, but to others further afield, and for other churches as well, for that matter. And so we do welcome you wherever you are tonight, and we pray the Lord himself will draw near and minister unto your heart. Now, I do remember, young people, 8:30 tonight, again on the Facebook Live, is our brother Johnny Smith's piece. So you might be able to join in with that. Do remember, please, Tuesday night. Again, we're meeting here in the church building, as we did last week. We certainly were very encouraged at the goodly number that came out on Tuesday night, and for the spirit of prayer especially. So again, Tuesday night, 8 o'clock, we're meeting here in the church, and all the measures are in place to make the house of God secure and safe for you, that you might be able to come in confidence. And then next Lord's Day, and I should say we are, as a session, meeting, reviewing the circumstances week on week. So we'll meet the session again this Tuesday night, 7:15, and we will make the decisions concerning when we come back into God's house. We certainly weren't going to come back this day. We had penciled in maybe next week, but I think we'll put it back a little yet. So do listen into the announcements, and we'll be able to keep you in touch as to when we will be back even in the church for our Sabbath services. So next Lord's Day, we will be coming probably, all in probability and God willing, across to you again live, both 12 and 7 on the various platforms. Do thank those who came out again this afternoon for open air in the car park. It was really good to see a goodly number again, as we have known this last number of weeks. Again, next Lord's Day, until we come back into the church building, we'll continue these open airs. 2:45, even next Sabbath again in the afternoon. Then the children's Bible school is not taking place this week physically as it would have been planned to do so, but we do intend to join in with the online Bible school by our home missionaries, and we will give further details concerning that toward the end of this month. You remember us as we would continue to minister in various places. We're doing a little radio piece for the local Fuse FM this Tuesday, I think it is. And so you might pray that the Lord will bless even that word and others' things as well. I think that's all by way of announcement. We trust that you continue to keep well, and it's good being able to be in contact with some of you again in the week that has passed. Now, returning back to Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, I've entitled the message tonight, The Purpose of Christ. The Purpose of Christ. Let's just unite our hearts together in a word of prayer before we come to the preaching of God's Word. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank Thee again for just the opportunity to come around Thy Word for a little time. We bless Thee, Lord, for the liberty that we enjoy. And, O God, we're mindful, even, Lord, at this time of the year, especially, Lord, on the 1st of July, for those who laid down their life in the Battle of the Somme. We thank the Lord for those who went willingly from these shores and who paid the ultimate price that we might have victory and we might have a liberty over the common enemy. We praise the Lord even for the courage and the bravery of men and women who went forth. And Lord, we pray that Thou would accept our humble thanks, that we might not take our liberties for granted, but, O God, that we might cherish our freedom. And Lord, we might use it to Thine honor and to Thy glory. And Lord, we pray that Thou would bless us even this evening as we come to this passage. Again, give us understanding. We ask that Thy Holy Spirit would be poured out. And Thou would give me words that must and shall prevail. Thou would give me help, Lord, tonight that I need. And Lord, that Thou would give help to the hearer who is under the word again this evening. So, Father, hear and answer our prayer and abide with us now, for we do ask these things in our Savior's name. Amen. I want you in your mind's eye to picture a man who's sitting at his writing desk. He's sitting there with the authority of God the Holy Spirit resting upon him, guiding his every word. He begins to write of the things which he has seen and which he has heard. Because, you see, this is one of the men, one of the holy men of God, of whom we read about in 2 Peter 1, who spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Imagine him writing of the account of the Savior's trial ere he went to his crucifixion upon the cross of Calvary. He gives, as he does, a few details which no other writer pens. That of the warning, for example, and the appeal of Pilate's wife, as she conveyed the message to Pilate, saying, "Have thou nothing to do with this just man?" And of the symbolic washing of Pilate as he washed his hands with the water before he sends the Christ of God and the Savior of the world to be crucified on yonder tree. Picture him also sitting down to write of the parables of Christ. Again, some of those are unique to this man's writings. Imagine him recalling the miracles that the Savior was to perform while he walked this scene of time, of how he spoke to a man sick of a palsy and commanded him to take up his bed and walk. And that man, who was carried in by four, he was to leave by himself, not only healed of body from his palsy, but also healed of soul, to go home and to be rejoicing and glorifying God as one who had known the Savior's touch. And the great crowds in the house that day could do none else than to marvel and to glorify God. But you know, there's another miracle that involves this man. This man that I want you to picture in your mind's eye. And Luke records it for us, for it is just as a wonderful a miracle as that of the sick of the palsy. It was a miracle of how the Lord himself was to meet with this man. A man even worse, we might suggest, than the man sick of a palsy, but who likewise was to know the power of God, which enabled him to arise and to walk. I'm bringing before you a never forgotten day when Jesus was to pass by a table, another table, not the writing table, but a business table. And he called this very man unto himself. For the purpose of Christ was, you see, not to call righteous, but sinners to repentance. I draw you to my text of Scripture, verse 27. And after these things he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. The purpose of Christ. I want you to note with me tonight, first of all, his character. The words of our text, they state that the Savior going forth was to see this man by the name of Levi. Sadly, it may have been the case, as it is with so many today, this man didn't see the Lord. He probably was just another one on the street, another one that was lost in the crowd. But we read here that the Savior saw him. The Savior saw Levi. And he looked upon him, and as he did so, I want you to understand something of what he saw. Because, you see, man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And it is the heart that reflects the true character of any man. What the Lord saw was what men perceived to be the offscouring of the earth on the outward appearance. For here was one who had sold himself to the Romans so as to work for the government. He was commonly known as a tax collector or as a publican, as the Scriptures teach here. And as such, not only was he considered to be the lowest of the low, but also he was one who was a traitor to his own people and to his own nation. The tax collectors in those days were among the most hated of all the people. They bore no allegiance to their own people. It seems that they were devoid of all human kindness as they carried out their business at what was considered to be the toll booth. But moreover, there were those whom people knew to be thieves and robbers. Having gained the right from the Roman authorities to gather the said taxes, it was commonly understood and known that they were to gather more than was required of them. And so they gathered the more, and they would keep it for themselves. They asked over and above what was required so as to feather their own nest. They were well known to be men who were dishonest, who were thieves and robbers. We can think of another well-known one by the name of Zacchaeus. That was the sort of life that these men lived. And this man, who was called Levi, the son of Alphaeus, was no different. As you see him sitting there, he's a man who's absorbed in his worldly business, maybe thinking about the money and nothing but that and how to acquire more of it. The character of Levi before the Lord met him was one of being a thief. And there's something else that people perceived him to be. He was a sinner. A real deep-dyed sinner. They were often numbered, you see, among the harlots and the other sinners of that day. I read to you what is recorded in his gospel. Matthew 21 and the words of verse 31. It says, whether of them twain did the will of his father, they say unto him the first. Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. And you see how the publicans are mentioned in the same company as the harlots. They were the outcasts of society, and they were looked upon with suspicion from many people, not least because they were considered unclean due to the nature of their contacts with the Gentile nations and also of their very business. Men and women, that was the character of this man Levi. But what the Lord truly saw, as he looked upon this man that day, was something totally different altogether. He saw a man who needed God's salvation. And while it may have seemed impossible in the eyes of men, nothing and no one is too hard for the Lord. But let me remind ourselves that what this man was is what each of us are before a holy God. We are those who are traitors. For in Adam we sold ourselves to sin and to rebellion against God. We turned our backs on our Creator, on the one who made us in His own image. In Adam, we disobeyed God upon the threat of death, whereby the Apostle Paul could state, "For as in Adam all die," you see, Adam was our representative, he was our federal head, and because he fell, and because he sinned against God, then so did every one of his race. But we are also those who are thieves. Because of sin, we have a debt with God that we cannot pay. Sin has robbed us of everything, of that sweet and perfect communion with God, of the promise of life upon which Adam was created. And because of sin, man has ever since sought to steal from God, to rob him of his glory and the honor that is his due. Man to this day steals from the Lord his very day, when he desecrates it with his own pleasures and with his own recreation, whereby the Lord saith, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." It is abundantly clear that man's character is no different to that which is and was perceived in Levi as he sat at the receipt of custom. Man is deep-dyed sinner. There is no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. My friend, without God's salvation, you are that sinner. You are that character, whose heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's what you are before God. But praise His name, the Savior said, "I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And so, as you look at this man, you see something of Levi's character, and it's your character. But then we move on, because we also see here his calling. This must have seemed to be just another day for Levi as he went about his work of taking the taxes off the people. And while many would have passed by that way and never give him a second glance or a word, there was one passerby that day whom he would never forget. Verse 27, "And after these things," that is, after the things that had happened in that house of the healing of the sick, the man sick of a palsy, "after these things he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, 'Follow me.'" This was the day in which Levi was to have a meeting with the Savior. He was never to be the same again. There were multitudes in that city. There were other streets that the Lord could have gone down. But you see, man or woman, young person, there's no accidents with the Lord. There's no chance happenings with God. For the calling of this man Levi was something that was ordained and planned from all eternity. The Lord knew all about him, as he does about each one of us. And he knew where he would be found on this particular day. And don't we come across that same truth? Even in John chapter 1, we read there of how Philip went to find Nathanael, and he was to bring him to the Savior. And Nathanael was to learn very early on that the Savior knew everything about him. He knew where he was. He was to be sitting under that juniper tree. He even knew what he was reading. Under the fig tree, I should have said. You see, the Lord knows everything about us. And this was the day in which Levi was to be found. For the Savior came to seek and to save that which is lost. What about you, dear loved one? I wonder, could it be that this would be the day in which you'll hear the call of the Lord to your soul? The Lord knows where you are tonight, both physically, and He knows where you are spiritually and mentally. He knows everything about you. The Savior's call to Levi was powerful. He was to hear the voice of authority, for the Savior simply said to him, "Follow me." Those who heard the Savior were heard to say, never man spake like this man, even his enemies. Those who heard him preach, they were to comment that they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And it was with authority that he calls Levi unto himself, and he said, follow me. Men and women, the Lord is still calling in authority. For just as he called Levi by the word of his power, so today the Lord is calling by the authority of his word. This authority does not reside in a church or a denomination. This authority does not reside in a group of men, but our final authority rests upon God's inerrant, inspired, and infallible word. One has said this, since God is the author, it must be authoritative. It must be authoritative. The Bible doesn't merely contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. And anything and everything can be held up before the Word of God, and it can be tested to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this Word, it is because there is no light in them. Dear loved one, I say to you in all sincerity, dismiss this book. Dismiss God's word as just another book. You forfeit any hope that your soul will ever be brought to repentance and to salvation by faith through the Lord Jesus Christ. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But as the general call of the gospel goes forth to your heart tonight, I pray that you might hear the effectual call of God in grace to your soul, just as Levi did. For I tell you, like the psalmist could say in Psalm 29 and verse 4, the voice of the Lord is powerful. It can make even the hardest and the most sinful obey. He is but to speak the word, and a cortege taking a dead son to his burial place is stopped, is halted. He's raised from the bier. He is but to speak the word, and Jairus' daughter is raised from the dead. He is but to speak the word, and Lazarus, dead and buried 4 days, comes forth. He can do the same with you tonight who are dead in trespasses and in sins. You see, the word of Christ was to grip this man's heart, for his call was personal. It was to him. He saw him sitting at the receipt of custom. He said, unto him, follow me. And the Lord of glory, the one in whom was no sin and could not sin, the very promised Messiah who should come as was promised from the Old Testament scriptures, he was calling this wretch of a sinner, and in the estimation of many around him, one of the worst kind, and yet the Lord called unto him, and he said to this man, follow me. And that man and woman can only speak to us of the grace of God. There was nothing of good or of merit in him. Yet the Lord called unto him that he might be a follower and he might be a disciple. Levi didn't deserve the grace of God. He deserved God's judgment because of his sin, both by nature and by practice. But the very fact that the Savior called unto him speaks that salvation is all of grace. And you know, there's an interesting little note there. This man's name, Levi, means joined. But by the call of Christ this day, he was no longer to be joined unto Satan and unto sin, but he would be joined unto Christ. And dear loved one, you don't deserve God's mercy either. Don't think that you're any better than Levi was. You don't deserve God's mercy either, but rather his wrath. Yet the Savior's call reaches unto you via the gospel with tones of mercy, saying, come unto me, all yet laboring or heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And you, my friend, tonight can be joined unto him with a union that cannot be broken. Not even death itself can break this bond. I wonder, will you heed his call as he calls in mercy as he calls in grace again. I wonder, will you heed the call of Christ? Not merely the call of the invitation from the preacher, but the call of Christ. I wonder, will you heed it? Will you come and be saved? The Savior's calling. He's calling for you. You know, I don't stop there, because I want you to see his change. Let us learn from this verse or two that nothing is impossible with God. He can take an old rotten tax collector, a publican, and he can make him into a disciple and into a follower of Christ. He can take the old sinful heart out and he can give him a new heart and make all things new. Only God can do that. Here surely is a word to those who may have become discouraged in praying for a wayward loved one. Who that loved one is, I don't know, but you know. I would say to you, dear child of God, don't be discouraged. Don't give up. Pray on. For the power of the Lord, and the power of His Word, which is that dynamite power, has not diminished. It's still the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And backed home by the Lord, backed home by the power of His Spirit, that sinner by God's grace can be converted from being a child of hell to being a child of God. So you pray on. That's what happened to Levi this day. He's given a new name. Instead of Levi, he was be called Matthew. And Matthew means a gift of Jehovah. What a gift. What a gift this man was to receive this day, not in monetary terms of silver or gold, but the gift of God's salvation by faith in Christ. What a gift this was, given by the Father even unto Christ His Son, to purchase salvation for a Levi, for a Matthew sitting at the seat of custom. He's given a new name. You notice Matthew's response in verse 28. I like this. It says that he left all, rose up, followed him. Oh, the magnetism of Christ. He left all. It was the forsaking of the old life. Left all behind him. Left the ill-gotten gains that he had received. Left the old habits behind and the old company and the old lifestyle. Preacher, if the Lord saves me, will I be able to give up this sin and that craving? Let me underline it to you. Whom the Lord saves, he keeps. And he will give you the grace to forsake all, and he will give you the grace also to live for him day by day. Forsaking all, trusting only in Christ and this finished work of Calvary. But not only was there a forsaking, but there was a following. He left all, and he arose, followed him. Matthew was to arise and follow the Savior. From that day forth, he had a new outlook. He had a new direction in life. He was given a new company. He was walking with the Lord. He was following the Christ of God, and he would do so for the remainder of his days. Matthew arose to follow Christ. I wonder, is there one tonight under the sound of my voice who will take up the cross and follow the Savior, who will heed the Savior's call and obey? Dear child of God, can I address you as well? I trust that you're not following the Lord afar off. I trust that your walk is up to date. You notice also the change that was wrought that day meant a fellowship. The very next words speak of him bringing the Savior into his house. Look at verse 29. Levi made him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. The Savior, men and women, will come into your house. He will take his rightful place in your home. What a great blessing and comfort that is to know what a change salvation will make in your home. He came into Matthew's house. There's a fellowship. Matthew took the opportunity. He's already an evangelist. He's already in a missionary, if you like, because he's took the opportunity to invite sinners and the publicans, those that he labored with, those who were work colleagues, and he took the opportunity to bring them into his home so that they might have the opportunity to hear the Savior and to meet with him. For what the Lord had done for him, he wanted the Lord to do for others. It seems that he gives Christ the seat at the head of the table. It tells us there that he made him a great feast. He gave him chief place. And Matthew, as he recalls this in his own gospel narrative, he's careful to tell us who else was there. Look at Matthew chapter 9. That's where you'll find it, corresponding passage in the words of verse 10. And it says, it came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in the house. He doesn't go into detail. We know from Luke that, of course, it is his house. Behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. He didn't invite the Lord and not invite the disciples. He's in fellowship with the Savior. He's in fellowship with Christ. But he's also in fellowship with the church, with the disciples. For they were there. Wonder, are you in fellowship with your brother and sister in Christ tonight? That's what it was for Matthew. Matthew was to become one of the Lord's disciples. What blessings were to follow as he heard the Prince of Preachers, as he saw his miracles, as he witnessed his power. My dear friend, you can know by experience this same fellowship with Christ. You can know his healing power in your life. You can know him taking you and using you as a means of bringing others to himself. This is what the Lord was to do in the life of Matthew. And years later, with the Lord having gone to the cross, rose again from the dead, and ascended on high back to the Father's glory, the Holy Spirit guided Matthew to write his gospel, word by word, syllable by syllable, which will stand for the test of time, until time shall be no more. For God has said, the Lord has said, heavens and earth will pass away, but my word shall never pass away. And Matthew was moved upon by the Holy Ghost to write as he did write. He spake as he was moved upon. And we have his gospel account even this evening. My dear friend, will you not come and be saved tonight and see what God by his grace will do for you and through your life for his glory? You need this physician. Oh, there was those who murmured, the religious crowd of that day, the religious leaders. Why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? The Lord knew what they were saying. The Lord knew their murmurings. And the Savior answered them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And you're sick tonight with sin. But I tell you, here's the great physician for your soul. He alone can make you whole. And that, you see, was his purpose in coming. Not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. If you think you're righteous tonight through your own merit, through your own good living, then there's no message of hope for your soul. There's no salvation. Christ came not to call the righteous. Those self-righteous, those who thought they didn't need the Lord or God's salvation, but he came. The purpose was to call sinners. Is he calling you? Then come this evening. Bow the knee. Confess your need of Christ. Confess your sin and ask him to save you. Thank God he will. Thank you for listening. As you've joined in with us this evening again, let's just close in a final word of prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank Thee again for Thy Word. Thank You, Lord, for the simple message of the Gospel. And Lord, how that's drawn near and draw even to that seat of custom. You saw that publican. You called him unto Thyself. You simply cried, "Follow Me." We praise Thee, Lord, that what we read, that He left all. He arose and followed Thee. And oh God, we pray that others tonight would hear the call of Christ and the Gospel. The effectual call of God would come to their heart. They would arise from where they are in their sin. They would follow Christ and never be the same again. Lord, speak on when the preacher's voice is silent. And bless us, each one this night, for we ask these mercies in our Savior's precious and all-worthy name. Amen.